Our scripture reading this evening is taken from Psalm 124 and reading verses 1 to 8. And our confessional portion is going to be what was last week, which was Articles 7 and 8. Psalm 124, reading verses 1 to 8. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. We have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people, God, we, as I said, go back to the subject in the Canons of Dort, Articles 7 to 8, which speaks about the Christian's perseverance in faith, that in the midst of all the trials and the struggles of our life, that God enables us to persevere by His power, by His Word, by His Holy Spirit, by Him watching over us. So that this idea that once we are Christians, what ensures that we make it to heaven is not our strength, is not our ability, as the Arminians would have us believe, but it is God's preservation. It's God watching over us, strengthening us, helping us, guiding us, so that our faith would not fail. We cannot obviously ignore various passages that speak about the challenges that we have in this life. We don't want to minimize that. Matthew 10, 22, for example, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Or Revelation 2 and 26, he who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, I will give him power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received power from my Father, and I will give him the morning stars. So such passages clearly reveal that Christians must expend energy, that we are going to face challenges, there are going to be trials, we are going to suffer persecution. Being a Christian doesn't mean that we're shielded from all of those things. All the things of life that we experience, as Job did. And the devil utilizes them to undercut our faith, to challenge our faith. No, as Christians, we will meet such challenges. So we ought not to be surprised by that. Even as James said, we shouldn't be surprised when we face trials and persecution. I mean, why should we? If our Lord Jesus Christ faced such opposition, why do we think that the world of unbelief is going to treat us any differently than it did him? If it hated the Lord Jesus Christ and crucified him, they certainly will come after those that believe in him, as the New Testament and indeed all generations of church history show, that unbelief rises up against believers. And so we do face those challenges, but we need to be careful that we don't allow people to take those verses that I've referred to and emphasize where it says, he who endures to the end will be saved. Suggesting, of course, that it's up to you. And if you make it, well, you'll enter heaven. If you don't, even though you are a genuine Christian, then you will lose that salvation. I trust that the psalm that we read puts all of these things together in the right perspective, in a biblical perspective. So we do face challenges, and without God, we would never, never endure them. But by God's strength, we are kept through those challenges and those trials. And even though they wreak havoc in our lives at times, it's the Lord that steadies us and keeps us on our feet. Well, as we look at verses 1 and 2 then, we see this hypothetical that is proposed, and desertion explored. Desertion, that is, in terms of God toward us. If it had been not, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. So the hypothetical is, here we are in a situation, but the Lord isn't on our side. In other words, we face the challenges of life, and God is not there. God is not on our side. God is not defending us. He's not standing beside us. It's not saying that the Lord does do that. It's just asking us to contemplate that situation. Here we are faced with this threat from the devil or from unbelievers, and we don't have the Lord to turn to because he's not there. But isn't that exactly what the Arminians are proposing? Do we stand on our own? Do we have to make it on our own? In our own strength, we have to make it all the way to heaven, just as we had to come to faith by ourselves without the interference of God? So here's what the Arminians propose, given to us in very real life terms. So here the Lord is out of the picture. He's not there to help us. And we face all of these trials, all of these difficulties. Well, sadly to say, that is indeed the situation for unbelievers. For the unbelievers, this hypothetical is a reality. The Lord isn't on their side. Not that the Lord is not gracious, not that the Lord doesn't send his rain and sunshine on the righteous and the unrighteous, but the Lord is not on their side. When they oppose God, as we mentioned this morning in Romans 1, talking about them rejecting God, even though he's clearly made himself known through the creation, then they're in trouble. The wrath of God is shown against those, revealed against those that reject him. To not believe in God, not to trust in him, is to be without God in this world. It is to be without hope. That's the way Paul puts it. To be without God is to be without hope. That certainly is this situation. The Lord is not on our side. What a terrible, terrible situation to be in. We face all the challenges of this life. The devil has his way with us. He leads us around to be children of wrath and disobedience and receive the judgment of God. And he doesn't do anything to help us, but rather to get us into more and more trouble with God. No, the Lord is not on their side. The Lord is not on the side of princes and kings that set themselves up against his anointed one and plot together against him. No, he's not on their side. No, they are warned, they are encouraged to kiss the Son, lest he be angry with them and they perish in the way. No, he's not on their side. No, he's their judge. And so they are in a desperate situation. And that's why they stand in need of the gospel. They stand in need of a savior that's going to deliver them from the bondage of sin, deliver them from the bondage of the devil, and bring them out into the freedom of the sons of God, into liberty. No, it's they that are without God. But it's not us. Absolutely not us. God is always in the midst of his people. And he will defend us. He will keep us. No, this is not a reality for us. It's a hypothetical to help emphasize the strength that the Lord is to us and how weak we are without him. That we cannot stand for a moment in our own strength. It is only in the Lord Jesus Christ, says Paul, that we can be more than conquerors. But without the Lord Jesus Christ, no, we're all going to go down into defeat. Believers are those that God is always watching, as Psalm 121 wonderfully teaches us. He knows everything about us. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't take vacations. We don't call him and find him engaged and we can't get through. Before you even pray to him, he already knows what's going on. And he's already in control of what's going on in our lives. And he already has good purposes that he's going to achieve, even in those difficult times. Oh, they meant it for evil. But God turned it for his good, as he does in each and every one of us. Not just for Joseph, but for each and every one of his children. No, God will never forsake us and leave us. So here's this hypothetical. That God is not with us. And to compound that situation, we are faced with the most severest of challenges. We are in conflict. We are surrounded. We are surrounded by persecution. We're surrounded by false teaching. We're surrounded by temptations that come from within us. We are under attack from the devil, from our own sinful desires. That's what the psalm brings before us. Vanity Fair, as Pilgrim's Progress puts it. Wherever we look, there's temptations. The world surrounds us with that. And that's our experience, is it not? We seek to shield our children and ourselves as well. But how can we do that in a world that is in our face all the time? You can't escape. And it pressures us in so many ways to weaken that resolve that we have to be obedient to God and to his word. But it goes even beyond that, does it not? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, not against the things that we see all around us and the pressure that is brought to bear upon us, but we have Satan and his cohorts that manipulate situations and bring pressure on us to scare us. As Revelation says, the devil goes after the woman, the devil goes after the church, and he spews forth from his mouth water to engulf us, to sweep us off our feet. And so we find ourselves in desperate straits, much like the disciples who thought that they were going to drown. Experienced fishermen, had a lot of talent, but here they were at the end of their rope, as it were, and here the Lord Jesus Christ is sleeping. Perhaps that's the way we feel sometimes. We have all of these pressures, all of these challenges, and it appears to us that the Lord is asleep. And sometimes, maybe we pray like the disciples. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we're going to perish? Don't you care about your children? And of course, the answer to that is absolutely. As Jesus said, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe. By that name you gave me, none has been lost except the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. In other words, the scriptures promise us that he would keep each and every one of us. No, we face severe conflict. And these dangers, as I said, are to be expected. But the outcome in this hypothetical case, for Arminians to take to heart and think about their erroneous position, because here it's laid out clearly for us to see what the consequences and the results are of their faulty thinking. Here the Lord is not on our side. He's letting us stand on our own two feet. And here we are faced with all kinds of struggle and temptations and difficulties and persecution. What's going to happen? If the Lord had not been on our, who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against it, what would have happened? Then they would have swallowed us alive. They would have swallowed us alive. We want to embrace the teaching of the Arminians that we can stand on our own two feet and it's in our strength that we're going to make it to the end? Well, this is what the Word of God said. If the Lord is not on our side, when we face those severe trials of faith and challenges that the devil brings on us, the result is an overwhelming defeat. An absolute defeat. We would have been swallowed alive. In other words, there's no contest. There's no contest. They don't even make an effort. They just open their mouth and they swallow us up alive, just like Jonah and the great fish. There wasn't a battle. I mean, it's not that Jonah tried to swim away. No, it was absolutely no contest whatsoever. The fish opened its mouth and Jonah went into the belly of the fish. And that was the end of that contest. That's the way the scriptures teach us. That's what would have happened. Just like Goliath and David goes out. And Goliath is just beside himself. He's insulted that David would come, a representative of the Israelite armies, and they would send this child, as it were. And he was going to feed his flesh to the animals. There was not going to be any contest. There wasn't going to be any struggle. It would be a walkover, as it were. He was going to swallow him up alive. That's the way it is when we face Satan without the Lord. He is going to swallow us up alive. He swallowed David up alive. He swallowed Peter up alive. No, he twists us around his finger. He surrounds us. He threatens us. He undermines our faith. If the Lord was not on our side, every single one of us would have failed. We can never hope to stand in our own strength. Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You think if you were in the jungle and a lion came, he would start trembling because you're standing in front of him? Absolutely not. He would run at us. There would be no fear on the lion's part, or many animals for that matter. They would come toward us, or a bear. They wouldn't run away. They wouldn't be scared of us. No, it's we that would be scared and shaking in our boots. Dare you face such enemies on your own? Dare we embrace a teaching that says you have to do it on your own? You have to face these challenges and come out the other end victorious? No, as Luther put it, and knew this struggle himself, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Does ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same. He must win the battle. No, without Him, if the Lord was not on our side, we would not stand a chance. None of us. Or as He goes on, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our souls. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our souls. So there's another example that the psalmist presents to us. It's us standing before waves, tsunami waves. And in our recent past, we've seen the damage that they can do. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people lost their lives as the tsunami hit the shores of various countries. Nobody can stand before those waves in their own strength and think that they can get away with it, that they're going to survive. It's a no contest. And those waves don't just knock us over. I mean, people like that. They go to the seaside and the waves come and they're, you know, big, but they're not that dangerous. And then knock us over, sweep us off our feet, and we think it's all fun. But not these tsunami waves, they're not. The hundreds and thousands that lost their lives, it wasn't fun for them because those waves overcome us and keep us under and suck out the life from us. That's what the Lord is talking about in this psalm. That's the way it appears to us. Like the Red Sea, for example, that stood up on either side and the Israelites went through in and of themselves. But when the Pharaoh and his army went through and the Lord was not on their side, they all perished. They all perished. And so would we if the Lord was not on our side. We would be overcome. And as I mentioned already, this is the way the devil attacks us in Revelation chapter 12, verse 15. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with a torrent. That's what he seeks. To destabilize us. To surround us with danger on every side so that we would give up. Submerge us, keep us under where we can hardly take our breath. No one to the rescue. No, they go over our souls. They would have gone over our soul. They would have put our faith in danger. That's what would happen. That's the kind of lies that we would have. That's the failure that we would experience if the Lord was not on our side. If we put ourselves in the position that the Arminians want to teach us, then this would be our experience. That's what the psalmist is telling God's people. If the Lord was not on our side, we would have all failed. We would have all gone down to defeat. We would have been destroyed. How can you live a life thinking that you're doing it in your own strength, which the people of the Old Testament often did? They stood in their own wisdom. They stood in their own strength. They thought they were mature in and of themselves, and that they could be like the other nations, be strong like the other nations. They never understood that without the Lord they were nothing. Even as the Lord reminded them when they were going into the promised land, don't think that you're a mighty nation. Don't think that you're so strong in and of yourself. You're not. You're absolutely not. If I left you as a nation among nations, you would be tossed around and kicked around like a football. No, it's only because I am in your midst that makes the greatest difference in their lives to protect them for the sake of his purposes, for the sake of the redemptive purposes of God. He kept them by the power of his hands. No, the people of God needed to understand that. They needed to reject this Arminian idea and come to their senses and realize that without the Lord, they are absolutely nothing. They would go down in defeat. But as we've said, this is a hypothetical. This isn't the truth of God's word. The truth of God's word is God is on our side. The truth of God's word is that God never leaves us defenseless. He never forsakes us. He's always watching over us like the good shepherd. He comes to our aid. He has the world in his hands. And so rather than going down to defeat, what do? We experience deliverance. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. What would have happened to us, what was guaranteed to happen to us if the Lord was not on our side, has not been the experience of God's people, because that hypothetical is false. The Lord is with us. The Lord has always been with us. And the history of God's people has evidence over and over again that God is there for us. I mean, what chance does the Israelites have with Egypt, the house of bondage, the most powerful nation of the world, had them in bondage for nearly 400 years? I mean, that's defeat. That's defeat. There was no hope that they were going to escape, no hope that they were going to, by their strength, win their freedom and rise up against Pharaoh and leave. There was no chance that that was going to happen. For 400 years it hadn't happened. It wasn't about to happen now. No, it was the Lord by his mighty hand, outstretched arm, where they didn't even have to pull a sword. They didn't have to do any fighting whatsoever. That was all the Lord's. And the 40 years in the wilderness, it wasn't because they were such good producers of food, even in the desert. No, absolutely not. It was God that provided for them, watched over them, and brought them through. The Lord is not with us simply to give us direction, to give us advice, tell us what to do, give us tactical support. No, no, no. It's beyond that. It's beyond that. No, he delivers us. That's the way that we pray, that the Lord would deliver us from evil. Deliverance is like we're hostages. We're bound. We can't do anything. There's no chance that we're ever going to be free. We need him to come and deliver us. And the Lord does exactly that. As we find, as I already mentioned, in terms of Egypt, the Lord came. He heard their cry. It wasn't that the Lord was weak that they were in Egypt for 400 years. It was his purposes. But when he came, it was very clear that it was by his strength and not by any efforts by the people. It wasn't that they turned around and became courageous all of a sudden. No, God brought them out with a powerful hand by two seniors. I mean, by the time Moses went back to Egypt, he was a senior. He was a senior. About 80 years old. Can you imagine? Two people in their 80s coming to Pharaoh and saying, God said, let his people go. And no wonder Pharaoh was probably laughing, thinking, who are these men? I mean, exactly what army do they have? But you see, it wasn't them. It was the Lord himself. Or when Elisha and his servant, you remember, were surrounded by the Syrian army. God didn't send out tactical information saying, well, do this and you'll escape. No, they did nothing. They did absolutely nothing. It was the Lord that delivered the army into their hands. And they took the army to the king. No, people of God, it's God who is on our side. It's God that delivers us. And he has done over and over and over and over again. And the scripture writes all of those things down for our learning, that we might trust in him, that we might see him active in our lives. And not think that we're on our own and not allow the devil to fool us with that. You might say, but yeah, weren't people killed though? I mean, didn't people lose their lives? Christians? So where was the Lord then? I mean, if the Lord is on our side in all situations, then why are there martyrs? Well, it's certainly not because God is not powerful. It's absolutely not that case. I mean, Daniel's three friends testified to that when he said, well, is your God able to deliver you? And they said, yes, absolutely. But even if he doesn't choose to do that, we're still not going to do what you want us to do and bow down before these idols. No, God is still sovereign. Even though he may not choose to deliver us and may choose to use us as examples of the strength of faith, that solid foundation that we have, that even if we go down to death, they can destroy our flesh, but they cannot take away that gospel from us. They cannot rob us of our faith. They cannot take away that freedom and that promise that God has made to us, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Absolutely not. We don't view those people as those that lost. We don't view those situations as a sign of God's weakness and inability to help his servants. Absolutely not. What we lift them up as, the strength of faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that even in the face of death, we continue to believe in him. Just as Stephen lifted up his eyes to heaven and saw the heavens opened and Christ standing ready to receive him into his dwellings. His faith didn't go down in defeat when they stoned him to death. No, what Hebrews says about such people is that they are heroes of faith. They died in their struggles, but they were not losers, but rather victors, of whom the world was not worthy. The world was not worthy to have them continue in their midst. And in heaven, they are singled out as those who lay down their lives for the cause of the gospel. No, it's not God's strength that is not sufficient in their cases. No, is God's strength is even more strong, so that even in the face of death, they continue to trust in Him and love Him and serve Him. No, He provides escape when there is nowhere to turn. As the Word of God says, that whenever we are tempted, He doesn't tempt us beyond what we are able to bear. And with every temptation, He provides a way of escape. And so here we are with these traps that people lay for us. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. In other words, we were caught in the snare. It's not that we were so skillful and understood that this was a trap, and so we made our way round it. No, no, no. We were caught in the trap. And if the Lord had not come, we would have gone down in defeat. But the trap is broken. The snare is broken. We are set free. We are delivered by God's strength. And what they intended for us is frustrated by the power of God. People of God, the devil is more subtle than anyone we know. And he will trap us. He will fool us. But be assured that as we walk with our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ and with his word in our heart, that he will provide a way of escape for us. He will deliver us from evil. When we have no strength to untangle the web that he's cast around us, the Lord is able to break his hold, even as he cast out demons that had people under their control. And the Lord ordered them to depart. And they did. And so it is God that comes to our aid. And it's because of that that we ought not to go in this direction and be persuaded by people that think, oh, no, no, it's all up to you. You have to do it. You have to show the strength of your faith. You have to persist and you have to persevere to the end in your own strength. Now, you see, what that leads to is pride. What that leads to is that I'm better than this other person or this other person. But Paul never said anything of the sort. It was a battle. It was a struggle. Praise is to be directed to the only one that deserves that praise. And that is to the Lord himself. And so that's what the psalm directs us to. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's our helper. He's our strength. It's believing in him that we can be more than conquerors. As I've already quoted Martin Luther's hymn. We cannot stand in our own strength. This psalm makes that very clear. You can't stand in your own strength. You're going to go down in defeat. There's going to be no contest between you and the devil or you and the world. You're going to go down into defeat if the Lord is not on our side. But the reality is the Lord is on our side. So we're to be strong and courageous. We're to look to him. And when we face those challenges and he brings us through, we're not to pat ourselves on the back. We ought not to think, I'm better than other Christians. I'm stronger than other Christians. No, we need to direct our praise to God himself. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. If somebody asks us, how do you know that having come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, how do you know that that faith is going to last all the way to heaven? And our answer to that should be the same for each and every one of us, which is that our help, we're going to make it because our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. It doesn't mean that we don't make use of the means of grace. It doesn't mean that we don't read our Bibles. It doesn't mean that we don't pray. It doesn't mean that we don't seek to walk holy in obedience to His Word. We do absolutely all of those things. But I'm telling you, all of those things themselves, without God, are not enough. They're absolutely not enough. No, it's the Lord's care over us. It's Him holding us in His hands. It's Him preserving us. It's Him coming after us when we go astray and bringing us back. No, it's Him breaking those snares that the devil imprisons us with at times. No, our confidence is in the Lord. It's not in ourselves. And it's the most dangerous thing to be persuaded by such errors as this psalm seeks to dispel. If the Lord was not on our side, you would have absolutely no chance. Each and every one of us would fail. But thanks be to God that He is on our side. He has committed Himself to us. And come the devil, come the world, no one will stop us reaching our glorious end. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful to hear such comforting truths that You have committed to in regard to us, even as You communicated that to Peter, and not just to him, but for each and every believer, that You have prayed for us that our faith may not fail. And that all those that God has given to You, You have lost none and will never lose none. And our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the evidence that we have in the Scriptures from the beginning to the end that You are a faithful God to Your people. And it's Your enemies that shake in their boots, including the devil and all his angels. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the defense that You are to us. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we may walk in the shadow of Your wings and praise and glorify You and call others to shelter under Your wings as well. Hear our prayers, bless us, and go with us, for we pray these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Blue Hymnals number 306.